Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Oh, all right. And hello, everybody. Hello. I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to the Kay and Gus Show. We are on GoPro Radio Networks, and we are on the Internet. We are the news, information, education, and global communication Internet station of the nation. Are we on? Are we on? I think we are just about ready to go. Just testing everybody. But anyway, I'm Kay Thompson. Welcome. Welcome to the Kay and Gus Show. We're broadcasting live, and yeah, we're on. So I want to say hello to Tiffany, who is the budget nista. Am I getting that right, the budget nista?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, it's a little confusing right now because we're waiting for another caller at 8 o'clock. So, you know, and we're going to be talking to Ben and Ndu about Legal Shield. And we were going to be talking to him for about 10 minutes. But what we're going to do is we're going to start with you, Tiffany, okay?
Okay.
Now, I know that you manage money.
Yes.
You know? And since we are the news, information, education, and global communications internet station of the nation, we do true news. And I'm Kay Thompson, everybody, once again. And Gus Henningberg is under the weather. I don't know if he's able to listen in. However, I will be reporting to him later on this week. I expect to see him tomorrow. Now, we do constant research, you know, and we confirm our information from our global communities, recipients, and also constituents. And then what we do is we have key contacts in various areas where we get news and information from all over. And we really care. We're on the air, and we're about the people who are listening to us, those who are calling us, and getting all kinds of information from us. So we give out, if you want politics, we'll provide you with politics, sometimes viciously so. In fact, I think I'm feeling viciously. I'm starting to say hi to Tony Cromartie. You're sitting waiting for the next segment, I know, but you might as well get in on this also, this light chatter for a minute here.
Something I'd like to hear about, financial issues.
That's right.
Use some information myself.
Okay, see that? Okay. So what do you think about the election, Budgetista, Tiffany?
Well, I'm just hoping that regardless of the outcome, that there's certain things that maintain, like insurance.
Yeah.
Especially being an entrepreneur,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a concern of mine. Like, how am I going to be able to afford health insurance?
Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
Like my little sister, she still lives at home. She's 23.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't have insurance through her job. But thank goodness under our current administration, she's able to, up until 26, still be under my mother's insurance.
And it may change if Romney gets in. We should say that to people, you know.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, that's a possibility. Yeah. But you are a budgetista.
Yes.
And I'm so fascinated with that because, you know, you were going to be telling us about money management.
Yeah.
Well, what's the main, when you teach your courses under the United Way,
mm-hmm.
now you are under contract with the United Way and you actually go out and teach these courses regarding money management, mm-hmm. All kinds of things about finances and credit and how you even put proposals together and all that kind of mm-hmm. thing. Am I right?
Well, the United Way is one of my clients.
Yeah, uh-huh.
One of my favorite clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I put together a 6-week course for them
mm-hmm.
where I teach credit, debit, budgeting, basic banking, just the simple things about money that people kind of should have learned at home but probably didn't.
And they come to you, people come to you to find out exactly what to do with their money and how to manage it.
Exactly.
Do we waste a lot of money?
Oh, yes, we do. Most of us are living what I call your most expensive life.
Uh-huh.
And so what that is that, you know, you can probably live the same life for less money. A quick phone call to, say, your cable company, you can probably maintain the same channels and pay maybe $30 to $50 less.
How?
Just with one phone call.
How?
Requesting, say, my cable bill is too high. What can you do?
Yeah.
They may have a coupon. There may be a special that you just don't know about, but you never ask.
Okay. Did you hear that, everyone? Okay. Give us some other tips like that.
You can call your cell phone company. Same thing. One of my clients from my class on Tuesday, she told her cell phone company with my suggestion, my cell phone bill is too high. They said, you know what? We have a special. You can save $30 a month.
Okay.
Same bill, same cell phone service, less money.
All you have to do is call and bargain
mm-hmm.
and talk.
Persistence and politeness.
Persistence and politeness. In other words, you can't get on there and say, looks, I'm going to,
exactly.
right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And tell us some more.
Car insurance.
Okay.
You know, you call one of my clients at the United Way, 2 phone calls, $900 she saved.
She saved $900?
$900 a month.
I need your home phone numbers, day and night.
So she made one phone call to her car insurance company. She bid with them for over 12 years.
No
for
kidding.
Car. Uh-huh. And she said, I think I'm going to leave. Someone else can, I can do this for $200 less a month.
Uh-huh.
They said, you know, we forgot we didn't apply these discounts. We can save you $450 a month.
All right.
Save
okay.
Insurance.
Getting warmed up now. What about real estate?
So real estate, I mean, I say that that's a big investment that most people shouldn't make, especially if you're young.
Yeah.
Only two ways that you should invest in real estate. One is if, you know, you want a home, kids, dog, you know, marriage or whatever, or you're buying for investment purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And even both times you should invest with real estate. So your mortgage should always be rentable.
Yeah.
That's what I say. So your mortgage should, if you should have to leave that home, could you rent it out?
Okay.
If not, then you've made a poor choice.
All right. Another question. Romney, who's running for the presidency, now is threatening to cut finances for women, to cut our access to good health care. So how do we go about, if that happens, how can we bargain some kind of way for our health care? Do you know anything about that? Or can
honestly,
you help with that?
And the only thing I will say is that if that should happen, which, I mean, there are very few things you can do, but you, what you can do, for example, is you can go to teaching hospitals.
Ah.
You know, they tend to be less expensive. You can ask your doctor for sample medicine. So say if you only have to take something for a week or two, sometimes your doctor, if you're very close.
A generic medicine instead of, you know, top.
No, sample, meaning like the doctor may have, you know, you may only need to take something for a week.
Ah,
he may give
okay.
You the medication companies will give him free samples and he can pass them off to his client.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. I hope people are writing this down. Give us something else, Tiffany. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, ask me a subject.
Okay. So, well, what's the main thing that people want to know, though, when they come to you, when they first start your questions? By the way, how many classes are there in the in the course that you're
teaching?
It's a 6-week course. Now, you also work with people who want to start up their businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
I teach entrepreneurship on Thursdays
in
Orange. It's just with this nonprofit. It's a 12-week course.
Yeah.
Because so many people, they ask, you know, how did you start your business?
Yeah.
And I've been full-time entrepreneur for about 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I make more than enough to pay all my bills and travel and see the world.
I see. And where do you teach? Are you in a certain facility or what? Or does United Way provide a facility or you have to rent it or what?
Everybody, all my clients provide their facility. So I'll just go to
wherever you
office.
Are. Mm-hmm. I see. That's terrific.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Okay. What's another thing that people ask you, you know, which is, what are the top things that they want to know, too?
Investment.
About their finance. Investment. Okay, let's talk about that.
I always tell people, do you have a budget? No, then you're not ready to invest.
Uh-huh.
Because how do you know how much money you can set aside for that? Most people are not ready for investment.
Also, with our community, sometimes we're not knowledgeable about investing in stocks, in bonds, or in another business or something, in other businesses. How do we go about that?
Well, I say first and foremost, honestly, you have to have a budget. Change your budget, change your life. That's what I teach my students. And so that's the core for everything. And very few people have budgets and are looking to buy a house or a car or start a business. If you start a business and your personal finances are in shambles, the business will crumble.
Well, how do they get their personal? How do we get our personal finances out of shambles?
Well, there's a whole lot, but I'll give you
suppose
my top three.
Suppose you have
three.
Debt.
So, okay, I'll give you my top three.
Okay.
Number one, open up a bills account.
Open up a who?
A bills account. An account separate just for your bills.
Just for your bills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To separate your money so you know exactly what you can spend and what has to go for bills.
Okay.
So do that. Number two, you want to start giving yourself a cash allowance.
Uh-huh.
So figure out how much money you spend weekly that you need and take it in cash. When you use cash, you use anywhere from 20 to 30% less than when you use a debit or credit card.
Ah, really?
Yes, a cash allowance. So that means like when you go.
So are you saying cut out the credit cards if you can?
Cut them. I mean, reduce them. You don't have to, you know, totally throw them away. They're a tool to build your credit.
Yeah.
But cash should be king in your life.
Okay.
So
okay.
Do that and you reduce your spending as well.
Okay.
Then number one, automate.
What does that mean?
Automation is a new discipline. You shouldn't be writing out checks. You shouldn't be paying bills. Let the bank do it. They do it for free.
Uh-huh.
They will mail your check. You don't even have to let companies come into your bank account.
So you're talking about a paperless existence also, which makes everything easier.
Mm-hmm.
So you're working with this computer and you have it all in front of you so you can see it at any particular time.
Exactly.
See where you are, where your money's going, and so forth.
Exactly.
And so
one picture.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a whole lot of people aren't computer savvy.
And that's okay. Well, then you can continue to pay your bills that way. But
yeah.
To me, automation is one of the ways to stay on track, because if you're not computer savvy, you know, that's one thing. But, you know, the upcoming generation, I feel like that's the way to go, because most of us are not disciplined enough. To pay it otherwise.
With your course, with your classes, do you find the majority of people who come to you are younger or older or what?
I'm finding like a middle range. I want to say the average age seems to be like in their 30s.
Yeah.
You know, we get a little bit older, a little younger, but the 30-year-old group is what's flooding
in. Yeah. Wow. Isn't that exciting? Boy, oh boy. Tell us some other things that we should know about.
Ask me a question. I mean, about...
You're talking about car payments. Suppose you become behind in your car payment. Can you actually go to the car dealership and bargain with them also?
Yes, you can. There's certain car companies that if you reach hardship, that you don't realize this, but you can make a call and they can suspend your payments. I forget.
No kidding.
Chevy. I think it's Chevy. I'm not for certain. But they can suspend your payments for up to 2 years.
Wow.
Not to say that you won't, and then you won't incur interest or whatever that is. But you'd have to ask. Find that out. You never know. If you know a hardship is coming, call these companies ahead of time. Because, you know, the worst thing you could do is dodge them. They may have worked with you.
So talk to them and bargain with them, and they and all probably go like, what about these companies that say, oh, you know, we're going to loan you cash at, you know, X amount of, you know,
that's
interest.
The worst.
That's the worst.
Those are the worst because, you know, those companies, most of them are very predatory. So your interest rate, you may borrow $100 and your interest rate is, say, 40%. So now you owe $140 for just getting $100.
Oh, boy.
It's just not worth that.
It's not worth that. Okay, let's get back to the car. Say you're going to buy a car and you don't have a down payment. Is it some way that you bargain with the car company?
The best way to buy a car is to never, ever, ever get a used car, a new car.
And never get a used car?
No,
never
car.
Get a new car.
Never
okay.
get a new car unless you have enough money to pay for it in cash. If you're going to get a car, because depreciation is a...
Yeah.
I can't use that language on the radio. And so as soon as you drive that new car off the lot, it's no longer new. It's used. So let someone else take the financial hit.
I see.
And then you buy it a year or two older. It's still new to you, and it's still new.
But sometimes you can buy a used car, and you may not know anything about that car. So should you check with the dealer
Carfax? Carfax.
Okay.
Did you pay? I bought every car I've ever owned straight cash, and they've all been like 2 or 3 years.
All right. Now, interpret or explain Carfax.
So Carfax is a service that you pay for that will give you the background of this car. So before I bought any car, you can see if it's been totaled, if it had water damage.
Or how many accidents or things like that. Right, okay. And when you ask for that, the dealership has got to give that to you.
So you
okay.
can just order, you can sign up
Go
for
online.
A month's worth of Carfax and just put in the VIN number and it'll tell you yourself.
Suppose people who absolutely have no knowledge of computers want to come to you just to find out how to manage. For instance, suppose you're teaching a group of senior citizens.
I do that a lot.
Oh, okay. So what's the first thing you talk to them about? I mean, are they concerned about the bills that they're paying? And, you know, what are they concerned about?
I was surprised because I teach in housing in Newark, and the senior population's main concern is debt collectors. Because they are attacking the senior population.
I see.
Because, you know, if a debt collector calls a 30-something and gets sassy, the 30-something gets sassy back. Seniors are being tricked into paying for debt that they no longer have to pay because, you know, they grew up in a generation of being responsible for what you owe.
And pay their bills on
exactly.
time. Yeah, okay.
So what happens is seniors don't know that there's a 6-year statute of limitation on revolving debt. So
Wait a minute. Yes. Back up. Hey, right here. What?
So statute of limitation means how long you can be prosecuted for something, right? And so in New Jersey and in New York, and you'd have to check your state. For 6 years, they can take you to court, garnish your wages, take your refund check, whatever. After that, that debt becomes zombie debt, and they can no longer prosecute you for that debt. They had that time. The government is like, don't flood our judicial system with all of that. But they don't know that. But what happens is they call a senior, and if they can get you to agree to a small payment, then that 6 years starts again. And now they can take you to court and take money from you. So that's why they're attacking the senior population.
Stay with us, everyone. We're going for a break, and we will be right back with Tiffany. And Tiffany's last name is Alicia.
Yes.
And she is a budgetista. I got to get that right? Okay, and we're going to give out your number for people to get in touch
with you.
Stay with us,
everyone. Black Agenda Report has been examining the world from a black left perspective. We've made a lot of enemies and a lot of friends. And on October 12th, many of those friends will help us celebrate our 6th anniversary at New York's historic Riverside Church. We hope you'll join us for an evening with Dr. Cornel West and friends of Black Agenda Report. And you know that with Cornel West on hand, an inspiring time will be had by all. Now that's at Riverside Church in New York City on October 12th. Spend the evening with Dr. West and other brilliant movers and shakers, and with the Black Agenda Report team, including Glenn Ford, Bruce Dixon, Tony Montero, Margaret Kimberly, Nellie Bailey, Marsha Coleman Adebayo, Jemima Pierre, Jared Ball, and me, Ayana Nana Sol Jones. See you there.
Black Agenda Television is produced by the people of BlackAgendaReport.com in cooperation with BW Movie Images.
Okay. Are we coming back? All right. We are back. Okay. And I'm going to be talking to Tony Camardi. That's a good idea. You know? Well, we're going to be talking more about that. But getting back to the budget, Nista.
Yes.
Tiffany Aleche, everybody. What's your phone number, Tiffany?
My phone number is 908-913-0061.
All right. Give it again.
908-913-0061.
Okay. Now you're going to get in touch with the budget Nista. And her name is Tiffany, Tiffany Aleche. You can do it phonetically if you want to, but it's Tiffany. Now, you hear the kind of information that Tiffany is giving you. You can start your own business.
Mm-hmm.
All you seniors out there, people are doing quilting. People are doing dance lessons. People are doing all kinds of things. You can start your own small business right from your house. Is that correct?
This is correct.
Okay, and you will come to them if they have a group of people.
If you have a group of people, I sure
will. If you go to one of the senior citizen centers, a lot of people, you know, are sitting there doing nothing, and they would love to talk to you.
I love
okay.
things.
Yeah.
My
yeah. Because a lot of them have money anyway. If they don't, they know how to make it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's, I've learned a lot.
Thank you.
Especially with the car. Now, the last car I bought was a used car. I spent too much money in trying to have it fixed. What I did not do was to get a Carfax on it because I would have found out that it hadn't had a number of accidents.
Okay.
So after threatening to break the knees, no, I wouldn't do it. But anyway, this is really some good information, you know. So, yeah. Wow. Okay, what are some of the other things? Just for about 5 more minutes, tell us what are some of the other things. Wait a minute. Let's get your phone number out once again. 908. 908, everyone.
913. 913. 00. 00. 61. 61.
Yep. So that's 908.
Mm-hmm. 913. 913. 00.
0061. So make sure you copy that number down. This is really important because of the fact that I know that you're one of your clients is the United Way. And of course they are a big organization and they do a lot for people, you know, who are in need of a number of things. And for them to be providing you with an opportunity to meet and give your information, your expertise to people, that is so important.
Yeah.
I'd like to see you in the school system. And, of course, we know right now that you're going to do a show right here at GoPro Radio Network, right? Ty, do you hear this? You're going to have a financial expert, you know, really. I'm telling you, it's really extremely important. And you can be right here and give this information out.
Okay.
Yeah, you know. And then, for instance, now you have this 12-week course.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have a course that is even less than that, right? Because I'm going to take the course, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. So, and then if, now, is there any charge to take the course?
The 6-week course is absolutely free. The United Way sponsors it.
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
It's absolutely free, which is my favorite word, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And the 12-week course, that there's a nominal fee that the nonprofit charges, just so they know that you're serious. I think it's like $100-something,
okay.
But it's worth way more.
Okay, but let's talk about the free one right now. Okay, so the course is free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I take it for 6 weeks, and I am in the process of starting my own small business, I have a couple of businesses, but say I'm in that position where I want to start a small business,
mm-hmm.
okay? Oh, for instance, I have, 11 children's books.
Okay.
And I'm going to be selling those children's books, either online or something. So I would come to you and take the course, and I don't have any money to start the business.
Well, the 6-week course is the financial literacy course.
Okay, so but that means what?
So that's the course where I teach about debit, credit, Budgeting, basic banking, that's what that course is.
And that's for small businesses?
No, this is just for individuals.
Okay, but I need that for my small business, right?
But the small business course is the 12-week course.
I see, okay. So after the 12-week course, I mean, how do I go about getting money to start my small business then?
Well, then, one of the things that you could look into, of course, is figuring out ways that you can make income, like speaking.
Yeah.
That's a great small business to start that requires very little startup.
Yeah.
Because you speak, you just come, and maybe you make some photocopies, then you get money.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you can get lending, you know.
What do you mean you make photocopies and then you get money for speaking?
So, for example, when I started, I had no money. And, you know, people would say, could you come speak? And when you speak, you bring your brain and your mouth.
Uh-huh.
And I would speak, and it would be the cost of the gas to get there. And I would get paid to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I would have handouts, so I'd make photocopies, and that would be, like, my expense for speaking.
Would you say that we are all sitting on possible gold mines?
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
If I tell you some of my months have been incredible. It's blown me away how much I'm capable of making in a month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always tell people that we are all, you know, we all have our stories to tell. And sometimes these stories are very important and to someone, and that people will pay you to come and be a motivational speaker.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I have my book, The 1 Week Budget.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
I self-published that.
Is that this book over here?
Yes, that is.
That I'm not going to give back to you?
And that book has reached number 3 on Amazon under budget.
No kidding. Yeah. Wow. Congratulations. Wow. What's the name of it again?
The 1 Week Budget.
The 1 Week Budget. And it says here, learn to create your money management system in 7 days or less.
Mm-hmm.
You guarantee that?
I guarantee it.
Okay. And I know people who are taking the course, so I'm telling you, this is for real, everyone. And once again, Tiffany's number, everyone, is, now you've had time to get your pens and paper, I'm assuming, pens or pencil and paper. And Tiffany, what is your number once again?
It is 908.
Yep.
913.
Yep.
0061.
Once again. Okay. Go ahead. Once more.
908-913-0061.
Okay, we have a caller. Let's go right to the caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi, Tiffany. I want to ask you a question. I'm trying to find out, should I refinance my car? No, it's kind of high, and I want to bring it down. I would love to cut it in half. Is that a good thing to do or not?
No, definitely. What I would do is, if you belong to a credit union, that's a great place to start. And if you don't belong to a credit union, join a credit union. It's not going to cost you anything. A credit union is just an alternative to a bank, and they usually offer really great rates. One of my clients was able to lower her car monthly payments by $450 by refinancing her car payments and shortening the length of how long she had to make those payments. So definitely.
That's a good idea.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, wow. A lot of people would be, you know, sort of skeptical about doing that. Why do you think that people... You know, there's so many advantages to just asking questions, and there's so many different advantages. For instance, if you have cable, if you want to see the on-demand movies and whatnot, and they're charging you a large fee. Well, there are channels that will do this for free, by the way. I know that much. So even if you had to pay for them, can you bargain with your cable,
definitely,
you know, company? Or, you know, you can always bargain, right?
Always. I come from, my parents were born and raised in Nigeria.
Uh-huh.
And my mother is the master bargainer. And I thought it was just her until I went to Nigeria myself and saw it was a way of life.
Yeah.
There are no prices. The price depends on how good you are at talking someone down.
I see.
And so
I've
seen her go into stores where a Walmart or a Macy's or whatever, where the price is there, and we come out not paying what that price is.
What? No.
Yes. So the price is never the price.
Uh-huh.
You have to always remember that. Somebody somewhere can get that price lower.
Okay. All right, Tiffany, you're going to be coming back another time.
Yes.
Okay. So. All right, everyone. The 1 week budget, learn to create your money management system in 7 days or less.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you will actually give them information about how to start your own business.
Yes.
And please believe me, everyone, we all have a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you tell your stories, even if you like to tell children's stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's a wide open, mm-hmm, open field. Anything. For instance, if you have clothes that you would like to give away,
mm-hmm,
and maybe you would like to sell them instead of giving them away because of that, for some nominal fee,
mm-hmm,
because you need the money, okay, fine. So you do that.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone has something in their closet that they may want to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how there's so many, what do you have, these,
eBay.
People, eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, have a lawn sale or something, you know, or people coming in to see what you have, because there are people who will buy what you have.
Definitely.
Yeah. So we want people to be really self-sufficient.
Yes.
And also have money coming in. And we are sitting on a gold mine.
Yes.
We are people and we're creative and we have a story to tell.
Yes.
And I know, for instance, when I was doing the filling in for, you know, Donald Payne down at the congressional panel, which I filled in for him as host a couple times, I was telling people, you have a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And we as African Americans have more of a story than most.
You'd be surprised. I mean, like I said, the book has done very well.
This
is something I did. It cost me next to nothing.
Yeah, to do it.
Mm-hmm. I use a company that is print on demand.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to pay for any kind of storage.
Yeah.
When somebody orders it, that's when I get paid.
Another thing, readathons. You can offer your services to any library.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And then you do a readathon. Now, a lot of times, for instance, I've done that and charged nothing. But at the same time, you can, with the older senior citizens, you can do this with a group of kids,
mm-hmm.
of little kids, and they'll absolutely love you for it. And the senior citizen places, you know, will probably even pay you for it.
There's so many ways to make money.
Mm-hmm. So many ways to make income.
Mm-hmm.
Come back to me.
Yes,
I will. Kay Thompson here. We're going to be taking a short break, are we, Shauna? Okay, we can take a short break, and we'll be right back, and we're going to be talking to Tony Cromarty, former detective with the Newark Police Department, and we're going to find out about why these kids, why there's so much juvenile and young violence, and why there's so many guns on the street. What can we do? If there's anything that can be done, we'll be right back. Kay Thompson here on the King Guest Show here at GoPro Radio Network. Stay with us.
For almost 6 years now, Black Agenda Report has been examining the world from a Black left perspective. We've made a lot of enemies and a lot of friends. And on October 12th, many of those friends will help us celebrate our 6th anniversary at New York's historic Riverside Church. We hope you'll join us for an evening with Dr. Cornell West and friends of Black Agenda Report. And you know that with Cornell West on hand, an inspiring time will be had by all. Now, that's at Riverside Church in New York City on October 12th. Spend the evening with Dr. West and other brilliant movers and shakers, and with the Black Agenda Report team, including Glenn Ford, Bruce Dixon, Tony Montero, Margaret Kimberly, Nellie Bailey, Marsha Coleman Adebayo, Jemima Pierre, Jared Ball, and me, Ayana Nana Soul Jones. See you there.
Yeah.
Black Agenda Television is produced by the people of BlackAgendaReport.com in cooperation with.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm serious. And you? Say what? Oh, we're on. Tony and I are sitting here. Tony Cromarty, everybody, is a former Newark Police Department detective, and you are now with the
Essex County Police Department
there.
Tony,
now look, you've been in this business of policing for a long period of time.
Ages.
Okay. All right. But really, what is going on with these kids? I mean, what? How? I don't understand it. And a lot of people don't understand it, you know, especially now in Newark. And not only that, with Patterson, not only that, it's all over.
Absolutely.
Why? Why so many guns? You know, what's, you know?
Well, you know, first of all, it's a very complex problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can tell you, going way back when I was in the Newark Police Department, for example, you know, part of the problem is, one of the problems, I should say, is the fact that we don't have the recreation programs that we had after school. We don't have the parental involvement that we used to have, the family unit that we used to have.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it's just the mere fact that, the mere fact that a lot of these kids are just raising themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is, those are just examples of some of the problems, you know, and the fact that law enforcement has to deal with it. I think it's a situation where, for example, when we were out in the street, there were more walking officers. Instead of the police coming in bad times, you know, they would come in and interact with the community, interact with the kids, get out of the cars and play ball.
Yeah.
It's not just this force driving in and driving out and arresting people.
Yeah. And now it's that when you see the police, you always think that something's wrong now instead of, you know, your friendly policeman.
Exactly.
Not that they're not friendly, but the point is they do have a job to do. And it's like, what about the guns? I mean, the guns are just like flooding our neighborhoods. What can be done about that?
Well, you know, a lot of it has to do with the NRA.
Yeah.
And the fact
National Rifle Association.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you have these high-powered weapons that really are not necessary for the average person. If you want to have a weapon, why do you need an assault rifle?
Yeah.
Why do you need a weapon that's a, for example, an automatic that you can put a clip in, fires 12, 14 shots?
Boy.
And those are the kinds of things that these kids are getting on the streets,
mm-hmm.
and they're using. The amount of violence that we see on TV is another example.
Yeah.
Video games. And I think to a certain extent, a lot of these kids think that it's a video game. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that when you fire a weapon, you can take a life.
Yeah. Is there any way that the average person in a community can, what can they do? I don't see anything that people can do about it. What can be done? Does it take a community effort? Does it take talking to the kids? I don't even know if that's the answer.
It takes an effort, certainly by the community, by the church community, and also by the police departments, people in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to do more than just talk and meet. We have to get involved with the community like we used to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were different organizations, the PAL, sponsored different events that interact with kids in the community. You know, there shouldn't be an us versus them.
Versus them,
separatism.
Yeah. It just seems like there's nothing that can be done. And now the gangs, you know, there are so many different gangs. Some people are afraid to come out of their houses in different areas.
Right. But
how do they deal with that? How do we deal with that?
But again, you know, there's a perception that gangs are only in urban areas.
Yeah. Oh no.
It's not. It's just about in every county
mm-hmm.
in the state of New Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as rural as Willingboro is, in those areas. Yes.
Uh-huh. You have to get closer to the mic.
You find them in the southernmost parts of New Jersey, rural areas as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's everybody's problem then.
Yeah, but where are the guns coming from so that they all of a sudden they just appear, you know, on the street or any place?
Well, a lot of them are brought up from the south,
mm-hmm.
certainly, and also because there are burglaries and other types of crimes where, you know, young people or people in general are able to get these weapons.
Mm-hmm. What about the average person who wants a gun?
Very easy. If you have $50, $100, you can buy a gun on the street.
You don't have to have a license to carry a gun?
Well, legally, you have
You're supposed to have a license. Yeah.
Yes, but, you know, if you are someone that really wants a weapon illegally, you can just go out on the street corner and talk to the right people and get one.
But, you know, that's really scary.
It is really scary. It's very easy. It's as easy as going to the corner store buying a loaf of bread.
Mm. Boy, oh boy. Wow. I can't get over that. I don't even know what kind of questions to ask about that. I know, for instance, there used to be organizations, the Boys and Girls Club. Are they still in existence or not?
Yes, they're still in existence. But
and, you know, what do we do about the kids who are so afraid that they are, for instance, when I was teaching and we were over at the new place in North Newark, the media center. You know, those kids were coming to the media center after school because they were afraid to go home at a particular time, especially if their parents were there. And so the parents would bring them to the media center, you know, in North Newark, you know, because the kids were afraid to stay in their own neighborhoods.
Right. Well, you know, and that's also one of the reasons why kids get involved with gangs, you know, becomes a means of survival.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if they're not a part of the gang, they can't walk the streets.
Yeah.
They can't leave their homes. And so, you know, that's one motivating factor. And the fact that, you know, you now have a situation where family members are parts of gangs as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel that, you know, this is part of the life and this is what
this is the culture. This is the new culture.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So when somebody comes to the police department, though, a lot of people are really frightened, too frightened to even say something about something that they may know that's going on in their neighborhood.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You have to live in the neighborhood. You have to,
yeah.
You have to survive there. And, you know, if you become an informant, so to speak, or a rat.
You're not going to last.
You're not going to
last. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if it's not you, it might be your child. It might be your property. So, you know, there's a fear, rightfully so.
Yeah. That's so, you know, it's almost like, you know, nothing can be done. And it's very frustrating to hear. I mean, I know like some of the seniors are, you know, afraid to go out of their houses to go shopping. And, you know, we talk to them a lot. And that happens.
You know, and throughout the state.
And the kids also, you know, some of the kids going into the classrooms. You know, sometimes you get a situation where a kid is in a classroom and they're being bullied, you know, by someone. And then they're afraid to tell their parents. They're afraid to talk to the teachers because then they'll get the title of a snitch or something like that. And, you know, they're sort of lost.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, the other thing, and as quietly as it's kept, you know, there have been circumstances and situations where gang members have been identified in police departments. So it's not just something that's common in the streets.
Yeah, yeah.
You have people in the legal profession and different, you know, facets of the legal profession that have been gang members and maybe still are.
Yeah,
so, you know,
wow.
You have a lot of legitimate concerns. We're talking about a very complicated situation at this point.
Boy, that is scary. That is really shaky. You know, I was going to be telling people about Legal Shield, you know, and I told you before I was I'm a member of Legal Shield, and I mentioned it to people before that they can call because of the fact that so many people, now this has to do with, you know, needing attorneys and inexpensively, you know, getting to an attorney. So Legal Shield is an organization that I've been involved with, you know, for a number of years, and I find it really, really very necessary. And, you know, sometimes you just have something that you will have to go to court for and you want to deal with somebody who can, you know, give you that help, and you don't want to go to an attorney because it's going to cost you too much money. But Legal Shield is an organization where you have to pay a certain amount of money. For instance, in this area now, you pay $26 to $27 a month, and you're a member of Legal Shield, and you have access to just about anything you can think of. With Legal Shield, you can call the law firms and they will deal with your particular problems. And for those people who have problems about, you know, just little things, you know, like dealing with, you know, someone who has broken their window on their house and they have this, you know, little friction with a neighbor or something, you know, you right. can call a lawyer, you know, and they'll settle that. But
right.
you have access to them. So, you know, I'm going to give out my number here for people to call. Because people have been calling and they wanted to know about the all about Legal Shield, and I kind of like it. So kind of like it. I like it very much because of the fact that it's necessary, really necessary now.
It's absolutely necessary.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
You know, in a lot of situations, people don't have money to
yeah.
hire a private attorney.
And not only that, you know, just in, for instance, when you're going to purchase a car, you know, and you look at the contract or something, you know good and well you do not understand all this, you know, jargon that is unique to that particular profession. You have people buying and selling cars. So you want an attorney to look it over. So fine, you pick up your phone and you call Legal Shield and they will, you know, tell you if it's a good contract or not. I also have children's books and I'm, you know, with my copywriting them. Even though I could probably do that online, I want somebody to know what to do about how do I go about copywriting, you know, some of the stories, some of them are. So, and then I would pick up the phone and call the Legal Shield attorneys and they get it done.
Very well, that's it.
For only what? Now I'm paying like $26 a month too. And then when I first started at Legal Shield, Tony, it was only $9.95 a month. I'm telling you.
You can find a bargain.
I believe in bargains. You know?
So do I.
So that's the main thing. But let me give this number out. Where people, I do have a toll-free number, and when people call, I do call back, by the way. And it is, the toll-free number is 888-307-5556. And if you want to talk to me about Legal Shield, everyone, this is the number to call, 888-307-5556. And then you'll get detailed information And I will always get back to you because I have done that before. So the number, once again, if you have a pen and pencil, is 888-307-5556. We're going to take a break about now, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to give out the number for you to call and talk to us here on, you know, the Kay and Gus Show. And, you know, want to hear from you. And, by the way, the video, who is Gus Hedberg? Have you seen that video?
No.
Yeah, for the tribute, we made the video. And this is a picture of Sally Carroll.
Oh,
you
I
know,
remember
Sally. Sally Carroll. Yes. Yes, yes, she was the first black police woman, I think, in the city of Newark, right?
That's right. One,
yeah.
One of the first.
Yeah, yeah. And she's good people. She also is the lifelong member with the NAACP.
And she's still going strong.
And she's still going strong, you know, and she's still driving. So I'm going to say hello to Sally, you know. Okay, but everybody, we'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Kay Thompson. Stay with us.
For almost 6 years now, Black Agenda Report has been examining the world from a black left perspective. We've made a lot of enemies and a lot of friends. And on October 12th, many of those friends will help us celebrate our 6th anniversary at New York's historic Riverside Church. We hope you'll join us for an evening with Dr. Cornel West and friends of Black Agenda Report. And you know that with Cornel West on hand, an inspiring time will be had by all. Now that's at Riverside Church in New York City on October 12th. Spend the evening with Dr. West and other brilliant movers and shakers, and with the Black Agenda Report team, including Glenn Ford, Bruce Dixon, Tony Montero, Margaret Kimberly, Nellie Bailey, Marsha Coleman Adebayo, Jemima Pierre, Jared Ball, and me, Ayana Nana Sol Jones. See you there.
And we are back. Anyway, what's that big thing with music there? I loved it. But anyway, yeah, I like to write. And we were talking during the break about children's books. I like to, you know, write children's books. They're funny, and you know, when you have a wacky sense of humor, you really, you know. And one is that I'm going to be copywriting this book, which is a tribute to my sister Pat. You know, and I haven't been able to talk about her, you know, passing, you know, some months ago. And even now it's very difficult. It's, you know, something that I haven't quite absorbed yet. But anyway, yeah. And we had the Thompson Dance Studio, and you know all about that.
Right. I didn't try and dance it.
But we had the Thompson Dance Studio, and the way we got the Thompson Dance Studio is a very interesting story. And it's not true, but it's funny. You know, and it's about Kitty Cat and Pity Pat. So that's going to be on the market really, really soon. So
I didn't know about that story.
Yeah. Kitty Cat and Pity Pat. I'm not even going to tell you the whole name of the story. But anyway, it's a delightful children's book. And there are a few others that I have that my grandchildren read. And they, in fact, one of my grandchildren decided that they were going to publish my story. And then they decided that they were going to change my stories. And then when they changed the anyway, when they changed the stories, it really becomes, you know, tugging, a situation of like pulling teeth. But we think the story should be going this way. And I said, if you wanted the story to go that way, write your own story. Of course. And it's funny, you know, so it's, so when I say we're all sitting on gold mines, we are. And if you just think about the things that you've done, for instance, if you have kids and the crazy things that they do and the crazy things that you do in response to the crazy things that they do, then it becomes really, you know, like fun to read and fun to write. And it gets you out of a lot of pressure. You may have pressures during the day. I find that the best stories that I have heard have been from senior citizens. And they are a funny group of people, you know, now that I'm approaching that age.
Well,
you know,
they're walking history books.
Yeah, yeah, they are. It's so true. Like, for instance, when Byron is on, Byron has a show right before this one. And he gives you a lot of history, you know, of, you know, what went on at different times and, you know, in you know, in the country regarding us as a matter of fact, I'm stumbling because I had a, you know, flashback about the riots in Newark some years ago. And remember that the business with the lady who was shot in the tenement.
Yes.
And I remember this young boy on, because I was in the South Ward in Newark at that particular time. And this young boy was shot by, you know, members of the police department. And he was laying on the street in on Bergen Street in Newark, in the South Ward. And it was a very horrible thing to see. And it was a horrible thing to go through. And that was like in the 67, 68, around there.
67,
was it?
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember the National Guard was called out. And this is their ride in Newark. And at that particular time, as a matter of fact, there were, just happened to happen that, that people used to say that it was a conspiracy, that, you know, that it was planned all around the country. Well, there were a number of different riots going on in a number of different cities. It just happened that a lot of people at the same time got fed up with what was going on with the different police departments in different cities.
Right, the economic conditions.
That's
that
right.
We were living under during that
at
time.
At that time. That's right. That's right. And I remember distinctly where we were. And I remember distinctly what we went through. We were trying to get out of the South Ward of Newark, but of course, the Lyons Avenue in Newark were, you know, they had different members of the National Guard stationed with rifles.
Like we had an occupying force.
It was an occupying force. That's exactly right. And it was horrible and it was awful. And that was something to go through. And I remember my son going through that and for a couple of years after that, being afraid of people who had on uniforms. And at that particular time, too, there weren't that many black police persons. So there was nobody to relate to on any level that you would feel safe with. You know, there were a few, but not many at all.
Well, I think we see that tide turning again now.
Really?
As well, to a certain extent. But, you know, also getting back to our young men and women and children that mm-hmm. are involved with these gangs.
Yeah.
You know, we can have all the seminars and all the group discussions that we can, but I think that, you know, we have to, as a community, you know, get ideas from the people that are in the community,
yeah.
in those, whether it be projects, apartment buildings, private residences, you know, to work as a group.
Yeah, exactly.
To try and deal with this problem. It's not going to get any better unless we come together.
But, you know, we've been saying that for years.
Yeah.
Saying that, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. As a matter of fact, it seems like it's getting worse.
But you know something? I mean, just arresting people, putting them in jail, throwing away the key is not the answer either.
Yeah, of course not. But then also, you know, with people coming, for instance, you know, I wanted to do, we're going to be doing programs on, you know, people who are incarcerated. And have been incarcerated, and they're coming out. Well, they've got to live.
Coming out
of, you know,
no
you know the prisons, right? And no job. So how can that be dealt with? Because they have got to live. And if you've done your time, and you're coming out, and then the legal system makes it so difficult for you to live with someone who's in public housing, it makes it difficult for you to have certain things. And to not have certain things, I mean, how is a person supposed to live? Now, people may say, well, we don't care, you know, if they've done the time and so forth and so forth. But where are we going to put all these people?
But we have to care because
yeah.
these are our brothers
and
sisters.
That's right. That's right.
Husbands, wives,
mm-hmm.
and so on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the employers
yeah.
have to understand that.
Yeah.
And we have to try to encourage them to give people a second chance.
Yeah. And how do you do that?
Well, you know, it's a big problem,
yeah.
certainly. But I
but
think
it has to be done.
It's going to have to be done
yeah.
somehow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's a situation where, for example, I look at some of the road projects in the state of New Jersey.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of African-Americans and other.
Are you talking about construction?
Construction, certainly.
Yeah, and you know that the law was passed in the state of New Jersey regarding affirmative action in construction because Gus was the one that took that to Governor Corzine.
But it's not being enforced.
I know it's not being enforced. That's the whole thing. But it's on the books so that construction companies, if they are using public funds for their construction projects of these big, tall buildings, for instance, Prudential, all right, the Prudential Arena, they had an integrated workforce because Gus stays on them. Newark Airport. when Gus was, that was one of the first, you know, things he did with construction. Here he was watching, you know, the construction of Newark Airport when it was Newark Airport, brand new, and what, the tarmac was being built. And there were no black workers out there. So you saw all white workers, no black workers. So he took that on. And, you know, he integrated, got that integrated. And then also with the New Jersey Performing Arts Center. And now you mean to tell me that it's not being enforced, that you still don't see, you know, black construction people working on the construction project?
You don't see a large number.
Yeah, yeah.
And also the jobs at the higher levels.
Yeah.
You don't see.
No, not at all.
That many minorities either. So those are the kinds of things that we also have to try and enforce.
Yeah.
These employers to hire people and include people that might have records.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
I mean, you should not be punished for the rest of your life because you made a mistake.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's another thing, too. I've had on a friend of mine, Milagros Harris, Millie Harris, and she is a teacher who is extraordinary. She has written a program. It has to do with the justice system. She is a teacher over at Central High School. And she was working with students whose parents or a parent are incarcerated or had been incarcerated. And especially those kids who go to see a parent or parents, you know, in, you know, the prisons and whatnot. And working with those kids, when they go in, they have to be fingerprinted. They're patted down. They go through the whole process of, you know, as if they were criminals also.
Right.
And they have a certain, you know, psychological makeup. You know, I mean, to subject kids to that. You know, having to go through this to see their parents, you know, and then, you know, having to be treated in a way that, you know, no kid should have to go through. So she's trying to deal with those kids who have gone through that because they have their own problems, you know, and trying to, you know, just work with them to make them law-abiding citizens and to give them encouragement about what they can do and what they cannot do and what they shouldn't do.
Right.
And that's so sad. Yeah, yeah.
As well, you know, sure.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there are a lot of things wrong with the system.
Yeah.
And I know it. You know it. And we have to try and be forceful and correct it.
Yeah. And it makes you sick because you really don't know what to do about it, you know. But I want to, you know, go back to the I want to go to some reasons why people, you know, because people ask me all the time, you know, what about Legal Shield? I said, and it's not only that it's inexpensive, you know. And we do have 3 minutes, just 3 minutes. And should we, okay, we're going to be going off right now. But sometimes, you know, if you don't understand the difference between a trust and a will, you know, if you want something to be done about a will, you don't understand your health insurance plan. You want it, you know, you want information about, you know, doing a book. You want information about copyright. You want information about anything that you need information for that, you know, you can't get at a library, but you need legal help. So that's what Legal Shield is all about. And I like it because I use your new washing machine doesn't wash, you know, or something's wrong with the gas and electric, or a neighbor or school reports you for child abuse, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that people shouldn't have to go through. An accident results in a personal injury. So, you know, what are you going to do? You have to go and see an attorney.
And you have somebody that you can reach.
That's right, that you can go to. But anyway, Tony, thanks so much. You know, you have to come back again and, you know, maybe we can solve some problems. And I want to thank you to Tiffany Achi. I've got her first name already, her second, her last name, rather, Alichi. And we're going to bring her back, Tiffany Alichi. And with her information about, you know, money management, because that was dynamite.
Well, I'll tell you, it was. And
yeah.
I will be contacting her as well.
Yeah, okay. I'm Kay Thompson for Gus Honeyberg. And we'll be back again, okay? Yeah. Who's coming up now? Ayanna Jones. Ayanna has a dynamite show. Wait until you hear her. She is a something, I tell you. Yeah. She is also doing a talk show. You'll see. Stay with us, everyone. Ayanna will be right back.
Black Agenda Report has been examining the world from a black left perspective. We've made a lot of enemies and a lot of friends. And on October 12th, many of those friends will help us celebrate our 6th anniversary at New York's historic Riverside Church. We hope you'll join us for an evening with Dr. Cornel West and friends of Black Agenda Report. And you know that with Cornel West on hand, an inspiring time will be had by all. Now that's at Riverside Church in New York City on October 12th. Spend the evening with Dr. West and other brilliant movers and shakers, and with the Black Agenda Report team, including Glenn Ford, Bruce Dixon, Tony Montero, Margaret Kimberly, Nellie Bailey, Marsha Coleman Adebayo, Jemima Pierre, Jared Ball, and me, Ayana Nana Soul Jones. See you there.